This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Was Doug Kide, Boston Herald, co-author of a really good Sunday piece in the Boston Herald with Andrew Callahan, kind of basically culling together everything they saw, heard, talked about in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. And that's where we're going here on WEEI Afternoons. But before, Fitzy, we get into the details. The free agent want list and the draft and the culture turnover and all these various things. Mm-hmm. I need to ask you a question that popped into my head. Like, we love this information. That's obvious. Fans love it. Media loves it. Oh, we have some insight into what Vrabel's doing down there, what they want to do, their offseason, names to talk about, that whole thing. Is it a good thing? And why is it out there? I just wonder, you know, Mike Vrabel is universally lauded right now. Mm-hmm. For, you know, he's the future of the Patriots. He's the tag team partner of Drake May. He's the reason everybody's patting the Patriots on the back and think they're a rising franchise and all these things. He's the reason that you're fighting Andrew Raycroft because you said the Bruins are not that close and trending in the wrong direction. That's all Mike Vrabel and Drake May.
That is correct. And believe it or not, Andy, between the two, if this is turning into like a workshop for a poll question, I'm more excited about what Mike Vrabel will do for the Patriots than Drake May.
Oh, boy, I don't love that. If that's true, we're porked, but we can push that to later.
Who were you more excited about in the early stages of the Patriots' double dynastic run, what Tom Brady did or what Bill Belichick did for the Patriots? Because I would argue it was much more Bill Belichick's influence early on, and then it became Brady-centric, and ultimately they married together perfectly.
10%.
Oh, you are such a douche.
Ted, not agree.
He's not here today, so I got to carry his side of the argument. 10%.
All right. Well, then I'll play the part of 10.
No. Shut up, Andy.
Also, that was 25 years ago, Fitzy. Different world.
All right.
That's when you could win without great quarterback.
Thank you, Bill.
That's when. Let's look at the... Okay, let's go down this road for a second, Fitzy, since you brought it up. I know you love...
Actually, since you got in traffic today and had to kind of pursue alternative routes, I like the fact that today's show is...
Rerouting.
This is like whatever radio waves is, we're getting rerouted.
Go left. Wait, I'm back where I started. Go left. I'm back where I started again. Okay, so let's go down that road. You think Bill Belichick was more important back then, and there may be some truth to that. It was also a very different time. The 2001 AFC Championship game. The quarterback battle between Tom Brady, an up-and-coming sixth-round pick who'd proven nothing and was riding a defense, and Cordell Stewart, mm-hmm. a converted slash wide receiver quarterback thing that was at the reins of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
wasn't exactly
with their bags packed, ready to go to New Orleans after they took care of biz against the Patriots.
It was a bad quarterback matchup. It was a terrible quarterback matchup, if you want to be honest.
It was a terrible coaching matchup, too, because Bill Belichick's Patriots were ready at every level, whereas Bill Cowher was thinking ahead and didn't have them ready to play.
You had two Hall of Fame coaches on the sideline. You had two quarterbacks, one that would never be in the Hall of Fame and one that no one thought would ever be in the Hall of Fame. It was a great theoretical matchup of coaches. Now, I know premature. We didn't know necessarily greatness would come a little later, but the quarterbacks in that game were not marquee. You would not be putting them on posters and playing them up. It was not Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, anything like we're seeing now, Herbert, all the various names in the AFC. So the quarterback is more important now than it was 25 years ago. So, yes, I am more excited that the Patriots have a quarterback that can play with Burrow, Allen, Mahomes at all than I am they have a mediocre coach or good coach or whatever you want to call Mike Vrabel, because he has won coach of the year. He's never won a Super Bowl. He petered out sort of in Tennessee. He didn't peter Skoronski out. He just petered out his career. They lost too many games. So, I'm much more excited about Drake May and what he means to the future of the New England Patriots than I am Mike Vrabel, because quarterbacks run the NFL these days. That has become clear more and more by the year, in my opinion. Quarterbacks.
Okay.
Win.
Don't disagree with the fact that this is a quarterback-driven league. Has been for a long time. Likely not to change anytime soon. But we've seen what Drake May can do to a certain degree in terms of maneuverability, design runs, speed, arm strength, decision-making, processing. And that's only going to improve, in my humble freaking opinion, with Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel's assistance. That said, I think the greater impact this year on the New England Patriots will be felt by and made by Mike Vrabel because of how much he's going to change the culture, bringing in a different defense, players that are more aggressive, physical, violent, the way that he's going to redo the lines, the impact that Mike Vrabel will have on the 2025 edition this year. On this edition of the New England Patriots will be as, if not more, significant than the impact felt by Drake May.
If you're right, and I always root for you to be wrong, but I'm really rooting for you to be wrong this time.
Oh, do you really? This just in, no S.
Because if you're right, this team's not going anywhere. Because that means Drake May isn't who Drake May is supposed to be. Who
you
I
know
think
what would
Drake
be awesome,
May
Andy?
Is.
The Patriots lose a ton of games, 31-27. Drake May, 24 for 31, 309 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Defense gashed once again.
Oh, if Drake May's doing that, you have a shot. The flip side is the problem. If the Patriots are winning 10-9 or losing 10-9,
you don't think
I don't
they
care.
Can win 2017, 2013, if 2016?
Drake May is the next big thing in Foxborough. Drake May is the future of this franchise. Drake May is a guy that some people believe, and we'll get into this, is going to be a top five NFL quarterback within the next 3 years.
And if Mike Vrabel is exactly the hero they needed at this time.
Yeah. If this is all on Mike Vrabel, then this team is, then Raycroft's right. This team's not going anywhere.
This year, not for the year two jump.
The most important jump for a quarterback for any position player.
And the
all
year
I've
one
heard is
remake
one
after you had a toilet fire for a head coach and his personnel department last year.
You just were the wet blanket on my hope that the Patriots are going back toward the Super Bowl. Because if you're right, which who knows, we're just debating our opinions here. If you're right and Mike Vrabel is the reason to be more excited, then this team's going nowhere. This team will not be competing for a Super Bowl anytime soon. We'll be looking for a new quarterback
more.
In 3 years. This is terrible. Terrible. You make me negative. You make me sad.
Nope.
You bring
I'm
me down.
I'm disappointed in you.
I
Mr.
need a couple of beers. Where is my couple of beers prescription?
Who played at college and on the champion of the South Coast. I'm the coach here. I wear the visors. I'm the Harto.
We'll revisit this over the next months and years because this is an interesting debate that'll play itself out before
I like
us
it.
And see where it goes. But let's go back to the Boston Herald. So as I said, they had the headline inside the Patriots free agency and draft plans at the NFL scouting combine. My first question, why are we inside the plans? I thought this guy that was coming in was like a Belichick disciple. Were we ever inside Belichick's plans? Were we writing all these things? We knew what they were going to do in free agency, knew what they were going to do in the draft when you got back with 4 days at Belichick? We got loose lips down in Foxborough? We got all these new coaches? What's going on down there? Why does the Herald know so much, Fitzy, and is it a problem?
No, it is not a problem.
Of course it's not.
I'll tell you exactly why it's not a problem, says the Foxborough fanboy. I, just like I imagine you could have, might have, or should have, communicated with Mrs. Kayed and Callahan yesterday. And it's almost like they had to hold back on the love that was shown to them from managers, agents, reps, players, draft picks, coaches, personnel guys. Everybody believes the antiseptic, the balm, the salve to what the Patriots needed, and the strong-armed badass to point them back in the right direction and get them going is Mike Vrabel. They didn't want it to turn into too much of a puff piece. No,
but what about the information? I don't care that they like Vrabel. I like Vrabel. I think Vrabel's good.
I think everyone was dying to talk because of what a mess. Andy, how many times have you
right
sat on something
problem.
Salacious
Everyone's
or
dying to talk. Why are they dying to talk? I'd
because
rather they die
to do.
Because
you need to blow off steam sometimes because, holy, why do you think bars are so busy in the American
How come they
workplace?
Weren't dying to talk for 20 years?
Between 5 and 7 because there was somebody running an ironclad operation
oh,
that
exactly.
didn't allow anyone to say anything.
So no longer do they have somebody running an ironclad operation?
They're just letting them get the, you know what you're doing?
Do we have a plastic clad operation
just,
here?
Just
melts
get it out
a little
now.
In the sun.
Get it out
sun
now.
Out?
I'll let you talk. You guys can talk until, we'll say April 1st.
Yeah,
lock it up.
Is that how you would start? Because it's not how I would start. I'm always a big believer that the teacher needs to start the year firm and then loosen up as it goes along. If I were starting a new culture in Foxborough, I wouldn't be like, hey, guys, down the road, we're not going to talk to the media. But embarking on the most important offseason of any of our careers, when we have $130 million, the fourth pick in the draft, and not an ounce of talent on the roster, why don't you guys go drink a lot in Indy and tell all the reporters what our plans are?
Do we think that this all came from people that are, quote, in the, like, did the phone call come from inside the house?
I don't care where it came from. If it came from a friend of a friend, why is the friend talking to the friend? Shut your friend hole, get to work, figure out who the best draft pick is, figure out who the best free agent is, and talk less. Drink
less. Why can't two things be true at once?
Yeah, I don't know. I love all this information. This is not a Doug Kide and Andrew Callahan Boston Herald problem. I love that we have the information. I hate, if I'm the Patriots, that we have the information. If there is any veracity to this, and I'm going to trust these guys. I trust their sources. They're getting information. Why are they getting information? I don't like that. Dan Ball.
Why would the Patriots hate the information that was put out there?
Yeah,
the specific
information.
Because think about the PR spin that we now get from the Patriots. If you read that as an agent or another team in the league, they want to be aggressive. They're targeting the top free agents. It's nothing that we weren't talking about, but now it's official. They want to be aggressive. They have this player that they're targeting. Yeah,
Ronnie Stanley.
What's the problem with that?
T. Higgins was their first choice, but they're not going to get T. Higgins.
What is the issue with any of that?
Okay, so you don't believe in negotiating. You don't believe. I mean, basically, it's all out there. Your cards are on the table.
Yeah, what's wrong
the
with
world
that?
The
cards
of the
are on the table
tax.
that you want to be aggressive this offseason.
So if I'm Ronnie Stanley, I don't take your first offer, your second offer, your third offer because I know I'm your first option. Like you need to get me. Right?
I mean, that wasn't a secret before they put the story
so
out.
So you don't believe in leverage necessarily. That's my whole point is here. Like, do I think it's the biggest thing in the world? No.
What
but
leverage
I think,
did they have before the story though?
What do you
Zero.
Mean?
What leverage did they have? They
With
suck.
Any of
their
the...
offensive line sucks. They don't have any leverage
so you
if
don't
they go to
think,
Ronnie Stanley.
You don't think Milton Williams' agent or Tre'Varius Ward's agent likes having the Patriots involved, the team with the most cap space that they can then manipulate and either manipulate their offer upward or manipulate other offers upward by having the Patriots publicly involved in the pursuit of their high-priced clients? You don't think that helps them?
I'm sure. I mean, it doesn't hurt them. No, I will qualify that.
Okay.
But I think that they were going to be. I mean, they were going to be out there with deep pockets, no matter if they reported those names or not.
I had no idea that they were going to go after Tre'Varius Ward. I didn't. That was not a
I
name
said
that,
that
I had
weeks
been
ago
around.
With you.
You don't have any sources. Just because you say it, I didn't know they were going to be involved.
I said
in.
I thought I had a reasonably educated guess.
So that's
that
a guess.
Tre'Varius Ward was going to be on the top of their radar. So I felt. A, validated, and B, kind of excited because there were an unfortunate series of circumstances in his life that he copped to and said, I don't think I can play out West anymore. I think I need a change of scenery, number one. And number two, the Patriots have a glaring need for an experienced number two cornerback that's going to command good dollar, and it just made sense. Andy, I'm not doing anything beyond just basic math, and I think
But Kide and Callahan are. They're sourcing it. They're saying the flat-out Patriots have a to-do list, and Ward is on it. They're sourcing.
Awesome.
I don't care about blogs and spitballing and aggregations and theories and tweets. That world does not matter to me. I do trust NFL beat reporters who spend 5, 6, 7 days at the combine, generally spend 5, 6, 7 hours a day of those days at a bar with alcohol in their hand while also talking to other people with alcohol in their hand, and those lips loosen up, and now they have information. I believe, now, you don't have to believe that this matters. I just come from a world where I was absolutely brainwashed for 20-plus years by Bill Belichick. That loose lips sink ships, the Parcellian, we're in the business of collecting information, not dispensing information. The only time you dispense it is to manipulate a situation in your favor. And
well, that could be fake news, Andy, because didn't Tom Brady famously say on, I think it was an episode of The Shop a year or two ago, like 90% of what he said or 90% of what came out of his mouth during his play days was a lie.
So you believe all this is lies?
No, I don't. I didn't
okay, so
that.
It's truth. Is there a benefit?
Could be one, you don't know. You don't know one way or another. I would like to believe they're going to be in on Ronnie Stanley, because of the glaring knee at left tackle. I would like to believe they'll be in on Charvarius Ward because I believe him to be a plus-level cornerback who would be a brilliant veteran fit alongside Christian Gonzalez. I would like to believe.
So I guess we need to rewind for a second before we really delve into this list. And everybody wants them involved in Ronnie Stanley. He's the best free agent tackle on the market. He just came off a healthy healthy year for the first time in his career, which means you're buying high and could be disappointed later when he plays in 12 games next year.
No doubt we could, Andy, no doubt we could be buying the Mercedes. They're like, hey, we hasn't had to have come into the shop in a whole year. Oh, great. Buy it.
But let's get a base-level philosophical answer first before we delve into this. Dan Ball, I'll start with you.
Okay.
Do you think a team's information being out there, sort of their desires, their actual punch list of guys they want to go after, who they might be interested in, because later it gets into like, oh, they might not be interested in Metcalf because they don't have good information on DK Metcalf, so he's not really on their to-do list or their opportunity list.
Yeah.
Do you believe having proprietary information available publicly helps a team, hurts a team, or is irrelevant?
I think it's largely irrelevant in 2025, given how much is reported from different people every single day for different teams. I really don't see that. I don't see it being a detriment.
Okay.
If anything else, I think it allows you to control your own narrative a little bit. I think if Ronnie Stanley sees that you're also in on Charvarius Ward, Chris Godwin, XYZ, maybe that allows you to convey to the player without saying it directly, we want to be aggressive, you're not our only addition, and we're trying to fix this thing in a hurry and spend some of our money. I think it allows you to control what's out there instead of just having different stories thrown out.
And there's certainly a level of that if you want to spin it positive.
I do.
They're tampering before the tampering. They're basically, hey, Ronnie Stanley,
pre-tamper?
Pre-tamper in the Boston Herald. Don't let those Ravens convince you that Baltimore is the best place for you. We are a very welcome Matt here in Foxborough. Like, come see us. And you could, that's a positive that could come from this.
That's what I'm trying for, because you are just peeing in the Cheerios on this one.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just looking for answers.
All right. Sure, Ted Wells.
We do. Just asking questions. So, Fitzy, do you believe it is negative, positive, or mostly irrelevant for a team's proprietary plans, information, approach in free agency in the draft to be out there?
I think in this particular case, I think it is mostly irrelevant. And the reason being,
why in this particular case? Why are you
couching?
Because
the cards are already on the table. It's not like the Patriots are hiding or masquerading anything. They're not going to surprise. Whoa, like we were stunned when they went in on Steph Gilmore years ago, because we thought, well, they're obviously going to pay Butler because he's their hero. He's the guy. Whoa, wait a second. They went out of house. Didn't see that one coming.
Whereas the needs here,
and it worked out very well, as a matter of fact. Whereas the needs here are so glaring. And by the way, these bites, these nuggets, they never said, like, a person who works for in the office around the corner from Elliot Wolf told us blank. These could be agents. These could be people who know that have been pre-contacted in the pre-tamper or legal window, whatever the hell you want to call this whole combine negotiation time. We don't know where this information is necessarily coming from.
Yeah, but I trust Doug and Andrew Callahan. I think they do a really good job. So when they say, so here's the first sentence of relevance. Mm-hmm. Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley, Eagles defensive tackle Milton Williams, 49ers cornerback Charvarius Ward, and Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin are among the Patriots' top targets, according to sources. I trust them as reporters that the source is a relevant source. Because
of course, what if it's his agent?
If some jackal from, I mean, like if a low-level scout from the Seahawks tells them, yeah, I heard from a guy who heard from a guy who three times later heard from a guy that the Patriots are going to be in on Ronnie Stanley, I don't love it. And I think too much of those guys as reporters and information gatherers. I think when they say a source, they mean a source that knows what the hell they're talking about, a source that's shedding light in a valuable way for them as reporters, but then also for their readers. So
okay,
it's just
so let's say those sources are in the building. Then fine.
Okay,
let's go along. Let's go along with your operating theory.
Then I'll go to the 617 on the text line to quote Don Corleone: "Never let anyone outside the family know what you are thinking." That's just the world I come from. That's a Belichickian mob mentality, Godfather mentality. That's the world I come from. The Parcells version. You collect information. You don't dispense it unless you are doing so intentionally. And maybe that's it. Maybe they flat out wanted Ronnie Stanley, Ronnie Stanley, Ronnie Stanley. Aggregation Twitter. Let everybody in Ronnie Stanley's camp know we have more money than the Ravens. Add one to whatever they put on that number. We'll add more than one. We'll add 10%. Millionaires tax be screwed. We will give you everything you need to come play in New England. So I'm just asking questions. That's what I do around here. I ask questions, pose opinions. You guys might be right. Maybe this is great, this great new era of Vrabel football in New England, where we talk more and we win more, and it all comes together. I sound dubious because I'm dubious. 617-779-7937. Do you like that the Patriots' plan of attack for the offseason is in your Sunday Boston Herald? Do you not care? And as we delve into that plan, do you like what you see from the plan? 617-779-7937. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, it's Angry Dan Ball.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy.
If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
All in his trending.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
They're in great hands with Mike Vrabel, who's apparently telling the whole world exactly what he's going to do so that the Boston Herald can print it in their Sunday edition. Thanks to that voice, Doug Kite, as well as Andrew Callahan. Talking Patriots offseason plan here on WEEI Afternoons. So, Fitzy, we just talked about the top names, which are led by Ronnie Stanley, which I think we all would be happy about, even if we have questions about, is he going to be durable? Will he play every game? Whatever. We've wanted a tackle. You want a veteran tackle, the whole thing.
He had a great free agency. Andy, you're 100% right. He's the pitcher that finally threw 200 innings right before free agency.
Ding, 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 and is due to miss, you know, a month due to some pulled something in his shoulder, blah, blah, blah. So Ronnie Stanley is a great dream. Just quick aside for me, I'm all in on Ronnie Stanley and Will Campbell. Will Campbell can play right tackle for a little while if he needs to. And Ronnie Stanley can play left. And then Mike Onwenu can play guard. And Layden Robinson can play guard. And guess what I just put together?
Seven guards? The National Guard?
What? No, I put together a great offensive line that will have winning ways with Drake May.
Yeah, didn't they, in the Herald piece from Messrs. Kayette and Callahan, didn't they also go over just how bad all the rankings were for all of the offensive linemen last year and how, again, outlining just why the need is so dire to not just grab one guard or two guards or one tackle or two tackles, but as many as you can?
Yeah, I think that was actually a separate piece from this one. They've been working overtime, to which point I was a little annoyed. This is the side, Andy. I go to the Herald website.
How many sides are there today?
I get a lot of sides. It's more of a buffet of Andy today. I go to the Herald website, and I'm like, I just read that story yesterday. Where is it? But they got like 10 more stories on there about the Patriots. Trying to find this story, which was loaded with information, news, nuggets, was difficult to find, but that's because Callahan
and Kite
was
significant, to say the least, yes. And they've given us a lot to chew on, and I'm sure tomorrow when Ted comes in at 3 o'clock, we're going to get a whole fresh spin on it all.
So you have Ronnie Stanley, which we can all get behind. But this is where I got a little negative on the plan for the Patriots. This is a quote from the Herald. If the Patriots whiff on their top targets, a group that consists of mid-level veterans and top-of-the-market talents, they will pivot to plans B, C, and, if necessary, D at select positions. So they do not have a plan E. So if they fall short of plan D, they're screwed. And this is what I didn't like. One such example is tackle. Why does it move? One such example is tackle. The Patriots would be comfortable signing any of Stanley, Dan Moore of the Steelers, or Cam Robinson from the Vikings, per sources.
Connection to, nota bene, connection to Doug Marrone down in Jacksonville.
Absolutely, where he was a bust. So, whoa, 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 whoa. They're comfortable with any of that group? Are they saying, like, Cam Robinson, Dan Moore, same as Ronnie Stanley? Because I don't feel like they're the same. I don't like this mentality. Well, if we just get one of those three, no. I want the good one of those three, not the lesser two
you want
of those
the
three.
The best of those three.
Yeah. So that whole mentality kind of bothers me. Then we get into some more interesting information. Guys they won't be in on, Fitzy. And I don't know what your thoughts are on this. Eagles defensive end Josh Sweat, Bills receiver Amari Cooper, Texans receiver Stephon Diggs, and Chargers outside linebacker Khalil Mack are not expected to draw interest from the Patriots, according to a team source. So that call did come from inside the building.
Mos def.
Why are they not at least kicking the tires on those guys?
I don't need Steph Diggs because he's on the wrong side of the veteran receiver age. Cooper's going to be 31, I believe, as well. Steph Diggs also coming back from an ACL. Josh Sweat going to cost too much for what they believe they will be able to get from him, because perhaps some of that was the byproduct of playing for a ridiculously good front seven in Philadelphia. And Khalil Mack, while he's still an absolute dog, maybe he's just not the schematic fit that we think he would be for Terrell Williams' defense.
Yeah, I don't care for it. I don't know why you'd close any doors. Do the research. Show the money. Maybe they want to be here. I don't know.
Is this going to be a sign everyone offseason? You just want them all?
Well, when you have $130 million, yeah, I think there's plenty of money to go around. Throw quality and quantity at the problem. I feel like if you do both of those...
A double Q?
You got a double Q, which would be huge word score in like Scrabble or any of those things. I don't think you even do it. Kiwi. Nope, that's just one Q, Andy. Move along, you idiot. 617-779-7937. What are your thoughts on the Patriots offseason plan that Fitzy? One of the next things here is, so where the hell did I lose it? Patriots are taking a trenches first approach to free agency with cornerback, wide receiver, and linebacker close behind. That in and of itself, not exactly breaking news. I feel like Bedard, Giardi, sort of everybody's kind of been trumpeting that information. Mm-hmm. Do you like it? Do you like that order? Trenches first, followed by cornerback, wide receiver, linebacker close behind. Does that fall in line with a vision that Fitzgerald may have?
Yes, indeed. This is exactly the kind of fundamentals first, trench warfare, big beefy dudes up front type of offseason I hope the Patriots would have, because it's not a great free agent class at all, period, full stop, send the letter back to your parents overseas. But if you want to go further, it certainly isn't a skill position offseason and free agency pool as well. So you'll have to actually do your due diligence, homework, and combine action to find the guys that you believe are schematic fits or will work out for you in Foxborough in the draft. So, yes, you're just doing business as business gets done this offseason, and easily the weakest free agent class in a long time.
So that was their look from the Herald at the free agency. Now, under the header NFL draft is where Andy Leike, much more so. I like Ronnie Stanley.
Now we like
it. Yeah. League sources currently view LSU offensive tackle Will Campbell or Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham as the Patriots' likeliest selections at number 4 overall. Show me Campbell and his short arms. I love it. And then
league sources, mind you.
League sources. No. And that's why it is important. No, great point, Fitzy. A rare great point by you. Stumbled into one, as I used to say to Christian Arkin.
You could have just said great point by you and then continued. A lot of people would have been happy with that.
I don't think a lot of people read these closely enough to say, oh, he said a source. Oh, he said a team source. Oh, he said a league source. And that does carry some weight in the information. This is not coming from in the Patriots war room. This wasn't Elliot Wolf. I think league sources means it's other teams projecting the draft, projecting the talents, projecting the needs, which is fine. I'll take Will Campbell or Mason Graham.
But Andy, what did you think also, side note, if we're going to do a quick breakdown of hand size, arm size, weight, speed, etc., Mason Graham coming in 25 pounds lighter than his collegiate playing weight, got down from 320 to 295, and he also does not exactly have stretch Armstrongs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I didn't love that because I didn't look at him as Aaron Donald. I mean, you remember the old Aaron Donald shirtless photos where he's like shredded, and you're like, yeah, there's a reason he's 285. He's all muscle. He's got no fat on there, and he's fast, quick, electric, explosive.
The definition of gap penetration.
Absolutely. And I don't necessarily look at Mason Graham that way. So that is definitely something. But that's probably comparatively similar to the short arms. Those two things are probably concerns I have with guys that I think can play the sport of football. Is it ideal? Is it perfect? Would I rather he did everything I saw him do at a higher weight? Sure. But the reality is he can play football the way Will Campbell can play football, and some of their measurables just aren't necessarily ideal. And one thing we've talked about, it's not a great draft. It just isn't. A year ago, you're getting 3 franchise quarterbacks, a couple more quarterbacks, 2 or 3 franchise wide receivers, a franchise tackle. The class was just better a year ago. It's not a great year, if we're being honest, if we want to be wet blanket Pats Nation peeps, it's not a great year to have a top five pick and $130 million to spend in a bad draft and a bad free agent class. That's just the reality. But they need to make some lemonade out of these lemons. That's what Mike Vrabel's tasked with. Mm-hmm. And along those lines, a few evaluators see a drop-off after the best 8 to 10 prospects, underscoring any possible trade back for the Patriots should not send them outside the top 10. If the Patriots do trade back, keep an eye on Arizona wide receiver Tatoria McMillan. Tet McMillan. Who,
that's what Shine went with in his first round mock draft, Andy, now available at WEEI.com.
At 4 or at lower?
7.
Okay, down.
As Joe Castiglione would say, 7.
I think putting him in the 4 spot would be a lot of pressure.
Men at Work used to sing, a mistake?
Yeah, well, I won't call it a mistake because I've always said if you take him at 7 and he stinks, it's a bad pick. If you take him at 4 and he's good, it's a, you know what I mean? Like, it's only 3 picks away. The most important aspect is he's got to be good. He's got to be able to play the sport of football. And I don't love him not working out at the combine and the questions about his speed and his straight line speed. He can play football. I absolutely believe he can play football. Didn't do it in the SEC, so I don't feel quite as great about it.
And also got about half his stats last year against 2 teams.
That's okay. Those games count too.
Yeah, they do, exactly. But it's not like he spread the body of workout over everyone and dominated the entire calendar. You know who I would like? No, I would much prefer. I've done a little homework, had a nice little 6 rings in football things pod earlier with Mego and Shime, reviewing and recapping the combine. It's nice to also, hey, you got a guy, who are your guys, which ones impressed you, who are the studs, the duds, the drops, etc. Jaden Higgins, Iowa State wide receiver. He'll give you 85% of Tet McMillan for like 60% of the price.
Oh, great. Now we got another mid-level receiver to throw in the mid-level pile of bums, stink, stank, stunks, as Mike Giardi has called them. I want to reach for the moon. I want to shoot for the moon. I'm short. I won't get it there, but you got to shoot there. And I want A.J. Green. I want a Pro Bowl all-pro receiver, and I want Tet McMillan if they draft
a receiver. I'm going to be that guy for a second here.
A lot
suddenly
of highlights, and there's a lot of them. I don't watch the low lights.
How many games did you watch?
Full games? Yeah,
half
not a
games.
Lot. Half games? Not a lot.
Yeah.
Highlights? A lot. Lots of highlights. That's where you live. You live in the highlights this time of year. Fitzy, we're supposed to get excited about these prospects.
I know. All right, let me ask you real quick. Still more combine talk today. Lots more tomorrow with Ted and all week long. Did you watch much combine? And was there anybody while you were watching that for any reason, go ahead, it can be a gauntlet, it can be catching, it can be leaping, it can be running, whatever. Was there somebody you watched and said, now, damn, that guy would look good in a Pats uniform? Just throw me one. Just give me one.
I didn't fall in love with anybody off the workouts. I'll be honest with you. The one safety kid, the one safety who blew everything up. The kid out of
DK Metcalf at the safety position?
Yes. He's like 210, 6 foot. Broke the jump record. He has
Nick
a funny name.
Nick Emanwari.
Yeah. I'll go
dude,
to war with
like
him any
6'2", day. 220, ran a 4.4.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Andy. He's 6'4".
Yeah. No, he, I don't know.
That guy's a missile.
And you said based on the combine, because I have not watched that guy play. You can ask me that question.
I watch a lot of SEC. I did not watch a lot of
South Carolina.
No
idea about him.
Year.
But based on the combine, that is a freak tester that looks like, based on the numbers, he should be able to play the sport of football. Now I need to kind of cross-check that by watching some tape, and I haven't done that yet. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we finish out this tremendous Boston Herald rundown of the combine with what they called leftovers. And in their leftovers is, I think, one short sentence that is the most interesting thing they wrote. We'll have that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
That was Gerard Mayo in his season-ending press conference following the win over the Bills that felt like a loss, and little did he know how much time he'd have to talk about
and
think
tomorrow
about.
Tomorrow never comes.
Well, tomorrow came. It was just unemployment.
Not for Gerard.
Not with the Patriots. And that's where we head now here on WEEI Afternoons as we sort of put a bow on this Boston Herald tell-all from the combine that included mostly free agency in the draft.
Can I just also say... momentarily kind of felt weird to hear Mayo's voice again for the first time in a while.
Yeah, and especially with a nugget. So there's lots about the 2024 season in here. Some of the big information chunks, I would say, is the coaching staff worked under what they believed was a three-year plan, and they were making all decisions based on the fact that they would have 3 years to establish a culture, turn things around, do various things. Maybe they would have played May earlier had they known they weren't going to have 3 years, something that they realized late in the process and started to make decisions based on that later in the year. But there is one line here, Fitzgerald, at the end of it. Multiple sources doubt that Mayo will return to coaching. I found that stunning. I found that worthy of like a crosshead in the paper and then maybe some expansive explanation. And that's it. That's really all it is. It goes on to Elliot Wolf and different things. And do we really believe Gerard Mayo is done coaching? That he had 5 years as an assistant coach, 1 year as a head coach, and that was enough to sour him on it? Because he seemed to like assistant coaching. He seemed to like it enough to become the coach in waiting and sign the contract. He seemed to have energy last offseason. He seemed to, you know, I think there were times where he said something to the effect, he was born for this. He was born to lead men. He was born to do this job. And now he's never going to return to coaching?
I think, see, the way that I read that was not an absolute, like, he was burned so badly. How badly? That he doesn't want to ever do it, and people will never believe in him or buy into him again. Rather, you won't be seeing him in the next year or two. Like, he may have to take some time off, get his game back together, rebuild his psyche. I can only imagine how damaging, how disappointing. We'd even heard possible, you know, like some, you know, online talk of like lawsuits or scandals to come from Mrs. Mayo, etc. Just imagine if you get this job, you were promised it, you hold on to it for 5 years, waiting for your shot, your big opportunity. You get there, you're told you have 3 years to figure things out, and then it turns into a one and done, and it is a catastrophic failure. Like, just to the point where, like, you not only did you shake the foundation, but like they're stripping the bones out and redoing the whole thing and not letting anyone know you had anything to do with the architecture.
But I mean, he's been coaching for 6 years. I just would have assumed, and I said this before, I thought he would return to the college level. I thought he'd go work for a Mike Tomlin or somebody in the NFL, try to rehab his image, get a coordinator job. He's not the first guy to get a job too soon. Raheem Morris is the example I gave the midday show. Raheem Morris skipped over the coordinator, was given the Bucs job, failed miserably, went back to the coordinator role, worked his way up in L.A. with the Rams, had the McVay stench on him, turned that into, wow, he's the greatest assistant coach in the NFL. Boom, he's back coaching in Atlanta. That's sort of the normal operations, especially for a guy who's in his late 30s, right? He hasn't even hit 40 yet, I don't believe, Gerard Mayo. Wasn't he 39 years old? So he has a huge career in front of him, and as little as a year ago at this time, he was telling everyone he was made for this job, born for this job, this is what he wanted to do, he's a leader of men, he builds cultures, all of those things. And then one bad timing, bad experience, getting railroaded, just kind of puts him off to the entire profession. I find that interesting. I would want to get back into it. Wouldn't you want to prove yourself if you were in that situation? Would you want to get right back on the horse, as they say?
I know I would take some time. I would take a little time. You got to self-reflect a little bit. Like, what did I do wrong? Why did I go this direction? Why did I make these decisions? Why did I let people push me this way? Why was I so agreeable when why did I have this like weird pastiche of a personality when I'm different? Like, he's got to figure out what he did wrong before he goes back to figuring out how he can do things right again. And if, and when he does, and you and I kicked this around a while ago on Six Rings, the best opportunity for him would be like a D2 school or an HBCU type of thing, where he can go back slow and then earn the trust of those players and have them say, listen, this guy knows ball. It was just a bad situation, and hopefully he'll earn his way back to another proper opportunity.
And there's also an argument that can be made is maybe he's made for younger players in the college game and that situation, which I know that goes in a million different directions now with NIL and all that, but maybe he would just be a better fit with young guys that aren't looking for money or necessarily it's more developmental. Get me to the NFL. You went to Tennessee. You got to the NFL. You worked in the NFL. I don't know. I just find the whole thing weird because, you know, look at Josh McDaniels or some of those guys. He's an example. That year in St. Louis, it was like, I got to find myself. I got to figure out what the hell's going on. I got to plan for the next, how did I screw up? And a lot of guys do that from a coordinator or even a position coach role, like a Brian Flores. I don't even think he was a coordinator when he went to Pittsburgh. I believe he was like a linebackers coach or a senior
Correct.
Linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And maybe this is actually a sign that he doesn't want to coach again. You know, out of sight, out of mind can happen relatively quickly, I think, in this business. And I just find it unfortunate. This is, I don't want to say this has become cliche, this whole it's worthy of a 30 for 30. But this fast tracking of Mayo and then fast firing of Mayo, there's a lot of story here. There's a lot of interesting aspects.
There's a ton on here.
Because you could argue, and I don't want to crap all over him right now, but you could argue he's one of the, based on the facts as they unfolded, it's one of the worst coaching hires in the history of the NFL. It's like a top 10 bad hire in terms of fit, results, the whole
thing. What about
thing.
This versus Urban Meyer in Jacksonville a few years ago?
I would say this is probably worse in a way. I
kind of would agree.
Now, that's the conversation that I think you're in, that the, you know, the comparisons. It's very different because I don't think Gerard was, you know, having women do lap dances in bars and make kicking kickers and some of those things.
But, I forgot that he kicked his own kicker.
And the best part is it's his kicker, right? Like I think there's a little Alanis Morissette irony there. You kick your kicker. Like if you kicked a lineman, it would be weird. Like you kicked a quarterback.
No, the lineman would have probably kicked back and it wouldn't have felt too good.
But the best kicker that could kick back would be the kicker. So that's where the irony comes in.
And here's the kicker.
617-779-7937. The Boston Herald says Gerard Mayo may never coach again. I find that interesting. I find that surprising. We'll see. We're going to continue to talk Patriots the rest of the way here on WEEI Afternoons. But up next, I've been looking up at my TV. And what do I see on ESPN? The Boston Red Sox playing some spring training baseball. And yes, we need to get into the Saint because the Saint played today. Saint Bregman begged his way into the lineup today. He just had to ride a bus with the young players and bestow his infinite wisdoms upon them and the golden Midas touch that he has. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.